you add up all the problems in your life, pain and suffering or whatever it might be, write down only two words: my grace. Jesus' grace. Is it sufficient? It is sufficient for anything and everything. That's why we cannot ever be a grace abuser. We need the grace of God. Do you understand?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again. It's great to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Grace Waster. Let's join in the study.
He says, yes, in distresses, in stripes. In other words, he was beat. Go look at, when we get over into chapter 11 and 12, all the sufferings of Paul, it's unbelievable. The beatings, you know, that he, imprisonments, tumults, that means riots, labors, or that word literally means I worked to the point of exhaustion. Paul says, I was imprisoned, and so forth. He says, sleeplessness, fastings. That doesn't mean I was fasting. It means he was starving. He was without food. All of those are plurals. Man, I tell you what, that's just a typical day for the Calvary Chapel Christian, isn't it? No, we have a very soft assignment so far. So far. Don't be lulled to sleep, loved one. Boy, when this, if this, the things that are coming, you just don't know. So Paul, he's not commending himself again. Man, he is defending his ministry. Now, Paul didn't faint from all of those things. Why? Why didn't he faint? Why didn't he just give up? Just, if you count all those things that he went through, and that's just a few, I want you to hold your place, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. And just for a second, please, and let's look at something about Paul the Apostle. Talking about not being a grace waster this morning, chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And look right there beginning, in verse 22. Remember Paul, now he's leaving, he's going to Rome and so forth, but he's going to do it by way of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 22, you see, he's talking to the Ephesians elders, he says, you know what, you see, I go bound to the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city or city after city. If you read the text, you would see how Agabus and other of the prophets, oh, Paul, if you go there, chains await you and so forth. He says, saying that chains, literally prisons and tribulations await me. So Paul is going to go to Rome. He's appealed unto Caesar, but he's going to Rome by way of Jerusalem. At this point in Acts, Paul only has about 10 years left to live. Nero is going to take his head off, you know that. But did you know most of those 10 years were spent in prison? That's the end of Paul's life there. He says, but none of these things move me. How can we not read that and not cry? How can we read that and say, amen? He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. I don't count it precious. I don't count it to be of any value. He says, so that I may finish my race with what? With joy, and my ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus to be a witness or to testify to the gospel of the what?
Grace.
Grace of God. You see that? The grace of God. He was not a grace waster. He said, no, let me tell you about the grace of God. Let me tell you what the grace of God has done for me. Do you remember over in chapter 21 of Acts when the Ephesian elders, they were begging Paul. They begged Paul. They were weeping. Said, please don't go, Paul. Don't leave. He says, Paul writes in Acts 21:13. You can look at it if you want to turn the page. He says, then Paul answered and said, what do you mean, talking to these elders? What do you mean by weeping? What do you mean by breaking my heart? For I am ready, or literally in the Greek, I keep myself in the state of readiness. I am ready not only to be bound, but I'm ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Paul a fatalist or something? No, but he was saying, I'm not willing to die for anything, anybody else. I'm willing to die for the one who died for me. I'm willing to give my life. Why? Because Paul is saying, because my will is no longer my will. My will is swallowed up into the will of another. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Oh, Paul did not waste the grace. No, he was not a grace waster. Do you know that word breaking that I just read in Acts 21:13, where it says, what do you mean by breaking my heart? If you study out the Greek, do you know that's the only time that word is used in the New Testament, that word breaking right there? It means to crush or to weaken the human spirit. It's actually a medical term. So, in other words, we could say break my heart in today's language would be something like this. Why are you trying? See, because they loved him. This is not the devil. These are people that love Paul, and Paul loved them. Do you understand? There's a big difference there. But he looked at them, he says, why are you trying to melt away my resolution? Or why are you trying to weaken my purpose that God has given unto me? I look at that and I say, oh God, what kind of man is that to say none of these things move me? And I ask the Lord, how do I get to that place? Lord, how do I get, I don't want to be a waster of God's grace. And I say, Lord, how do I get that? Why do things move us and not Paul? Why do things move us away from following Jesus? So many in the church. Or what, moving us away from serving, move us away from giving, move us away from attending. Well, I have soccer. Okay, I know that. I'm not beating you up. Don't feel guilty if you have soccer. Feel much guilt. No, I'm joking. I hope the second service is happy too. No, listen. I look, oh God, you know, move us away from our calling. You know, I say this in tenderness. You know it and I know it today in our nation, in our church today in America. It doesn't take much to move the believer away from God, from the grace of God, to move a believer, see, out of the grace of God. To be estranged from the grace of God. You know what I'm saying? I look at, oh God, I don't want that. Listen, do we have a different Jesus than Paul? Do we have a different word than Paul has? Do we have a different Holy Spirit? Let me ask you that. Do we have a different grace? No, we have everything. See, we can say like Paul, my life, my joy, my ministry, my race, stewardship, all these things. One day we're going to stand before God and give an account for our ministry that God has entrusted you with. Let us not waste the undeserved, unearned, unmerited, divine favor, God's grace. Let us not ever take it in vain. And let me say one other thing. These trials that Paul mentioned, Don't look at it and say, well, there was something wrong with Paul. There wasn't anything wrong with Paul. Paul wasn't out of the will of God. Paul wasn't in sin. And no, I don't want to ever hear that Paul had little faith. That's why he went through these things. Oh, loved one, no, listen. These trials came because he faithfully served the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that's exactly his lifestyle. People didn't like it. And that's just the way it was. So how did Paul, this is very important now, listen. How did Paul endure? How did he make it, really? How do we truly make it? You know, how did Paul endure? He did not waste God's grace. He didn't waste God's grace. In Paul's deepest, most severe trial, which was the thorn in the flesh, you know, he goes not to man. We'll learn that in chapter 12. He doesn't go to man. He doesn't go to Timothy. He doesn't go to Titus. He doesn't go to Peter. He doesn't go to anybody. He runs to one place. He goes to the throne of grace. Grace is our enablement. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul writes about that thorn in the flesh. And listen to what Paul says. Oh, concerning this thing, Paul writes, I begged, I pleaded with the Lord. The Lord who sits in heaven. He says, I went to him 3 times in prayer that it might depart from me. You know what God told Paul, don't you? No. Have you come to the point in your walk with Jesus to where sometimes when God says no, it is the absolute best thing in the world for you? He said, no, Paul. He says, oh, that it would depart from me. And the Lord said to me, listen to what God said, my grace. Isn't that amazing? My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, my grace is enough. Do you believe that the grace of God is sufficient enough for you? You see, listen, take on this side, you add up all the problems in your life, all whatever you're going to go through, pain and suffering or whatever it might be, add them all up. And then on the other side, write down only two words, my grace. Jesus' grace. Is it sufficient? It is sufficient for anything and everything. That's why we cannot ever be a grace abuser. We need the grace of God. Do you understand? That's what Paul is trying to get in our life right now. Listen, God, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, God is the God of all grace. That's what we need. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly, meaning with confidence, because of our relationship with Christ. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, a place where you can receive help, a place that you can find mercy in time of need and obtain it. See, that's why grace is so important. Paul didn't waste his grace, and we don't want to waste God's grace at all. Loved one, did you know if you knew your position, the Bible says in Romans 5:2 that you stand in the grace of God 24/7. You can't get out of it. But do you know it? Do you believe it? I'm divinely favored. I have God's favor resting upon me right this minute. No matter how tired I might be this moment, I have his grace. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I say, oh God, that's what I want. The Bible says, we're going to learn soon, it's going to say that God is able to make all of his grace abound toward you, that you might be sufficient in all things. Man, do you want to be a grace waster? Do you want to receive God's grace in vain? Loved one, don't do that. Look what he says. He says, oh, in verse 6, he says, by purity. In other words, that's really talking about sexual sin. He said, I'm pure, man. By knowledge. He says, and that's about knowledge, about dealing with other people from God's word. He says, by long suffering, I'm slow to anger, Paul says. I'm patient with people. Oh, by kindness. You know what kindness is. Kindness is God's love in action, isn't it? Yeah. He says, oh, by the Holy Spirit, meaning being led by the Spirit, being walking in the Spirit. By sincere love, you know, sincere love. Romans 12, what does it say? You know, let not your love be hypocritical. It wants to be sincere. Sine seros, sincere. And he says, that sincere love. Isn't it amazing? The power of the Spirit manifests the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? He says, by the word of truth, meaning God's word, the gospel, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left. In other words, Paul put on the full armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. He says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers are literally, that word is imposters. That's what Paul, the false teachers called Paul, said he's an imposter. He said, as imposters or as deceivers yet true. In other words, yeah, if we're imposters, Paul says, okay, but we're imposters who speak the truth and they don't. As unknown, meaning I'm unknown to the world, but as well-known, meaning well-known to God, as dying, and behold, we live. Chastened, that word means disciplined or beaten, and yet not killed. Sorrowful, now watch this, yet what? Can you believe that? I am always rejoicing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen? I am always rejoicing. He says, poor. That word literally means as a beggar, completely destitute. He says, as poor, yet making many rich. In other words, spiritually rich through the word of God, the gospel. And watch this now. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Loved one, that is incredible. Paul is refuting now the accusations of the false teachers. He's saying, how much had they suffered? Because they hadn't suffered for that church at Corinth at all. You know what false teachers do then and now? They're just a bunch of sheep stealers. They don't win the lost. If you read Acts chapter 20 and 21 about the Ephesians elders and so forth, what did Paul say? He says, when I leave, I'm not going to ever see your faces again. I'm going to go to Rome, guys. He says, but after my departure, you need to know that savage wolves are coming in. Savage wolves to make or draw away disciples after themselves. That's what false teachers do. Do you understand? Because they look at sheep as merchandise. Now, I want to ask you a question. How could Paul say, having nothing, yet possessing all things? You remember when we were in 1 Corinthians and Paul told the church at Corinth this in 1 Corinthians 3:21? Let me read it to you. Therefore, let no one boast in men. And that's what the church at Corinth, remember, they were doing. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of the Lord, and so forth. They were dividing the church, okay? He says, don't boast of men. And here's why. All things are yours. I love that. Paul said, don't you know, church? All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, our life, our death, our things present, our things to come. All things, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Man, I'll tell you something. All things are yours, loved one. Why? Because God is your Father. And God owns it all, amen? I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, I am so thankful to know that I belong to you. You said, now, and you belong to me, and everything belongs to you, all of the world. You see, your relationship to Jesus Christ determines your relationship to the entire universe. All things are yours. Psalm 24, 1. Oh, the earth is the Lord's and all is full, and the world, all that dwells within it. God owns everything. Things present, we have it. Whatever's happening now, things future, whatever's going to happen, life or death, it doesn't matter. All things are yours. That's why Paul was able to write that. And that's why he says, oh, and you are Christ. Now listen to me. If you don't belong to Christ, you don't have anything except a world that is passing away. Let me ask you a question. The results of Paul in his life by receiving God's grace, by not being a grace waster. Paul, in the end, you know what he was? You've studied his life just as well as I have. He was a great man of God, but he was literally a homeless missionary, wasn't he? Writer of maybe 14 books of the New Testament. And Paul says, no, I'm richer than everybody. I'm richer than all men. Think about Paul. Miracles came from his hand. That's grace. He said, here's a sweat rag. You need to get well or get that demon out of there. Go ahead and take it. That's fine. God used him to raise the dead, cast out demons. Matter of fact, Paul could even speak like he did to the sorcerer. You know what I mean? And he was blind. Whew, I look at that. Praise God. What did Paul have? Grace. Do you understand? Paul had grace, not programs. He had grace, not religion. And at the end of Paul's life, you know how his life ended there in the Mamertine prison, all alone, there in Rome waiting execution. And he writes this. He says in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, for this reason. The reason was Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel of grace. Amen? For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I love it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. These are the last words of Paul, loved one. He says, I'm not ashamed. And the reason? For I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Oh, Luke is the only person with old Paul. Remember? He's down in a hole in the ground. He's penning this last epistle. You know, he's wanting Timothy to come. He's wanting Mark to come. You know, because everybody had left him, gone back into the world and so forth. No. He says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all. Paul is alone. Paul is old. Luke is with him. He's about to die a cruel death. In other words, his life is over, and guess what? The world doesn't care. I can only imagine what the devil said to him. You understand? I mean, I can only imagine, where is this Jesus, Paul, that you believe in now? Rotten away in a hole. You're getting ready to die a cruel death, Paul. Where's this great grace? Is this called grace, Paul? Is this how what grace does to someone who believes in Jesus Christ? You know what Paul said? I'm not disappointed in the way my life turned out. Man, why? He says, because I know, I'm completely persuaded, I know in whom I have believed. I have an intimacy. I have a deep personal relationship with the God of all divine favor, the God of all grace. And I am persuaded that His grace is sufficient unto me even in my hour of death. What a great way to go. Amen. See, loved one, we cannot abuse grace. We cannot waste the grace. If you're not following the Lord, listen, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Why? Grace. The devil can't have me. Someone is greater in me than he is. Do you understand? All the Word of God, all the promises of God, they're all true. You are, by grace, God's ambassador. You have, by God's grace, been given the ministry of reconciliation. And you also need to know that this is the only time that you can ever operate in God's grace. That's why I say in closing, from the second verse, Paul says, oh, in an acceptable time, I've heard you. In the day of salvation, I mean this present age of grace, I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, today, this moment is the day of salvation. If you don't know Christ in this small first service, don't let grace pass you by. Don't do that. It's now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's the devil's favorite word. Wait till tomorrow. No, 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 no. If I gave you a piece of paper and said, I want to be saved, but I'm going to wait 6 years, would you sign that? No. No, listen. It's right this minute. Someone asked me the other day, they said, is it the lifting of the hand that saves Bill? And I just looked at him. And I said, it's not the lifting of the hand that saves a person. Because you say, you just lift your hand if you don't know Christ. Lift your, yeah, I say that all the time. That's not how, you know, it's not coming to an altar that saves a person. It's not receiving a new book that says, welcome to the family of God. That's just not what saves a person. You know what the altar is? You know when a person opens their heart? Listen, that's when a person says, I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Him. You see, the altar, the lifting of a hand is the place where that says, I want to die for the Lord now. I'm tired of living for myself. I want to live for God. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. That's what that's all about. I pray that if you don't know Christ, that you'll not be one of those that, I don't need the grace of God. You're going to be a grace waster. Oh, it's by grace you're saved. That's the only way it can happen. Don't waste God's grace. Every favor, every blessing is found in only one man. His name is Jesus Christ.
Pastor Bill will continue this study on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.